As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Special guests on this episode include Junior Dos Santos, who will be taking on Stipe Miocic Saturday night in Phoenix in the main event. You can catch on Sportsnet 360. We'll also hear from Canadian bantamweight Mitch Gagnon as he's in the final preparations for his huge fight going down in Brazil in just, what, 9 days from now, taking on Hayden Barão, the former bantamweight champion in the world. Obviously a huge opportunity for Mitch Gagnon. We'll speak to him momentarily. And we'll also hear from Mike Bond at MMA Junkies. Mike Bond, he's also a writer for USA Today, to get his thoughts on everything from the world of mixed martial arts in terms of CM Punk, what's going to happen on Saturday in Phoenix, what's going to happen at the Ultimate Fighter finale, now that we know Carla Esparza and Rose Namajunas are in the main event, fighting for the first ever strawweight championship of the world in the UFC's 115-pound division for the ladies. We'll get Mike's thoughts a little later on, but waiting on the line right now to join us to talk about his return, his long-anticipated return to the octagon after a very difficult 2014. We haven't seen him compete since October of 2013, I believe. Mr. Junior Dos Santos. Junior, how are you today?
I'm doing good, and you, Joe?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll tell you one thing, though. There, of all the people, all the fighters that have not competed in the octagon for a very long time, the fact that you're returning, everybody seems to be smiling. They're very, very excited to finally see you return to the octagon. But how are you feeling right now?
Well, yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, I'm happy. Because, you know, everything that I want to be back, you know, to the octagon, to be back competing, because that's what I love to do, you know. And, I'm very happy. This last year was a tough year for me. So I just want to forget about it and look forward now.
They say we learn a lot from the struggles in our life. And like you said, the past year for you was very, very difficult. How much have you learned and evolved as not just a fighter, but as a human going through the adversity and the difficulty that you had to go through?
Well, yeah, I learned a lot, you know, especially mentally. I think I've become more a little stronger than I was. And, it was a tough year because, you know, I got hurt and a lot of things was happening. So like I told you guys, I just want to forget about everything, you know. And right now I have my next fight going on next Saturday, so I'm very excited, you know, to go there and put in a good show for all the people that believe in me.
Well, Junior, let's be honest. You always put on a very good show, so I don't think we expect anything else other than you showing up in the octagon and having a fantastic performance.
Thank you very much. That's what I want to do again, so...
No problem, but listen, we both know Stipe Miocic is a great athlete, really good wrestling, not afraid to stand and bang, but what are you expecting from him, or does it even matter what he brings? It's just important what you bring to the fight.
It matters. You know, I was studying his game, all the time, and he has a wrestling background, but all the time he tries to use his boxing skills. That is really good, you know, and I think he's gonna try to stand up and bang with me, and I'm happy with that, you know, because I'm really confident with that. You know, when I'm using my boxing skills, I really believe I can knock anyone out. And if that happens, if he stands up with me, he accepts to fight, stand up with me, I'm gonna knock him out, you know. And otherwise, if he takes me down and using his wrestling skills, I'm ready to use my jiu-jitsu skills too. You know, I have to understand this, you know, and I think I'm better on that because it's MMA. We have to get ready to be ready to fight anywhere, you know. So I think I understand that a little better now. And if you take me down, maybe he can be the first to the mission of junior defense in the UFC.
Well, wouldn't that be impressive? I'm sure the UFC would be very impressed with that. You'd probably get a performance of the night bonus for sure. But when I first heard the news, Junior, that you decided to kind of move your camp to Rio and train with Nova Uniao, especially with Dede, I mean, Andre Pettinaris has a different mind when it comes to preparing guys for fighting, just an overall understanding of how fighting, you know, relates to human beings. What has it been like training under Dede?
Well, it's been very, very good, you know, to be there training with the Pettinaris. He's an excellent coach, you know. He's a very, strategic. Something like that. I think you understand.
Yep.
He's a really good coach, and he accepted me very well there. So I'm happy to be there training with them. You know, I learned a little bit more I think things gonna be, you know, a little better for me now. I still believe I cannot keep it out. I mean, I have to use my boxing skills because I do that very well. But I have to understand that if the fight goes to the ground or maybe it's easier for me to take the fight to the ground, I have to do that.
That's 100% understandable. I want to ask you something about training at Nova Uniao, because I talk to a lot of heavyweights and light heavyweights, and whenever they spar with the smaller guys, sometimes they get annoyed because the little guys are so fast. So I want to ask you, have you had a chance to spar with Jose Aldo Jr. or Hannon Barão, and what goes through your mind when these little small guys are running around and you can't get a hold of them?
No, I didn't spar with them, you know. We have a big difference between us. Like, I'm a 215 pound guy, and they're way lighter. So we didn't spar, but yeah, they gave me very good advices all the time. You know, they are good guys, good people, and they treat me very well all the time there, and I'm happy with that, you know, to have them with partners of training, you know. All the time they try to teach me something new, and I think it's really good, you know. I think it's really good because we have to learn all the time. It's good to be learning.
I'm not going to lie to you right now, Junior. I'm smiling ear to ear because I remember a long time ago, the very first English interview you did was with me in Las Vegas, and your English is absolutely fantastic right now. So I'm very proud of you for that. But I want to ask you another question, though, regarding the heavyweight division, because you did take some time off. You're forced to take some time off because of the injury. Now you have Fabrício Werdum as the interim champion, a guy that you defeated in your Octagon debut. I just want to know what goes through your mind as the former heavyweight champion, and you're sort of on the outside having to look in as, you know, Fabrício's eventually going to fight Cain Velasquez, and you're still there trying to get back to a championship fight. What goes through your mind?
Well, yeah, thank you for the part of the English. I'm getting better. And I think this thing with Fabrício Werdum, I think he deserves, you know, everything that's happening now at the division, you know, put him in that place. And so I hope he enjoys that team, you know. But now he's gonna fight against Cain Velasquez. I think Cain Velasquez is the favorite, but of course he has chances to win too, you know. He's really good on the ground, and if Velasquez taking him down, he has good chances to submit Velasquez. But of course, like I told you, Cain Velasquez is the favorite against any one of the heavyweights right now, you know. And I'm just looking from where I am right now, and I'm thinking about just Miocic, you know. I want to fight with him, and I want to win this fight, you know. And after that, let's see what's going to happen in the division. But I'm sure soon, very soon, if I got good victories, you know, I'm going to be fighting for the title again. Doesn't matter who's the champion, or Velasquez or Verdun or anyone.
Okay, final question before we let you go. We know that on Saturday night it's scheduled to be a five-round fight. It's a heavyweight fight. They rarely go five rounds. But if Junior Dos Santos had a perfect fight in mind versus Stipe Miocic, what is the perfect fight on Saturday night?
The perfect fight for me, you know, is to knock him out. I love to knock people out, you know, and I think that's what I do very well. So I really believe in the first round we're going to be studying each other a lot, you know, and the second round, we're going to go a little bit more harder to the fight. So maybe if he accepts the fight, stand up with me, maybe I can knock him out in the second round, you know, because I'm very confident on that, and I like to think like that.
Listen, thank you very much for your time. Please tell Anna I say hello. A big hug to you and to Anna, and best of luck on Saturday night.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Of course, Junior has to throw in the last line, calling me Pitbull. I think actually it was Mike Pyle, but Mike Pyle and Junior Dos Santos are always the guys that are all over me whenever I put my shades on. Anywhere that's a sunny destination, calling me Pitbull, but it is what it is. Junior Dos Santos, one of the best guys in this industry. Absolutely love the guy. So, but anyways, let's go from a Brazilian to somebody fighting in Brazil in 9 days, as Mitch Gagnon will be taking on former bantamweight champion in the world, Hayden Barão. Mitch is on the line with us right now. Mitch, what's going on, my man?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Sounds like you're driving. And if you're driving in Toronto right now, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, I had to go pick up my brother's truck. So, it's not the best time to drive, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you're a Sudbury boy. You've been up there for a long time. You know what the snow is like. But you know what? I guess it doesn't really matter. Even as us Canadians get used to the snow, you never get used to it, though.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Like a day like today is like one of those stay-in days. Drink a good coffee and watch some TV.
Exactly. Are you going to get some training in today, though, despite the weather?
Definitely, yeah. You know, I'm just going to go and, you know, the work is done. I'm just going to, you know, get a good warm-up, drill some of the stuff I've been working on for this fight. And that's about it. I shut it down quick. And, you know, the work, like I said, the work is done. I'm not going to get in any better shape from here on out. It's just to stay healthy, stay sharp, bring my weight down properly, and we'll go to work.
Well, we're 9 days away from your big fight versus Hayden Barão in Brazil, so the weather will be much warmer there. But you are heading down there. When do you leave for Brazil?
I'm leaving this Saturday, a couple days.
Also, get down there, acclimatize yourself. Do you have any obligations when you land there, or does it start later on in the week?
Yeah, you know, I think I got an obligation that starts like on Tuesday, and it'll run through until, you know, fight day.
How has training camp been for this guy?
You know, it's been great. I've been, you know, I've been healthy, and my body's been, you know, just on fire, and I just feel good, and, you know, I just can't wait to be there and, you know, and go to work.
In terms of fighting him now, the last time we spoke was when the fight was just announced. Now you've had a training camp preparing for the former bantamweight champion. Are there things that you now saw or trained for that you weren't aware of beforehand? Because we all know the way he fights, great Muay Thai fighter, great submission game, very, very fast. But to train for a guy like that is completely different as opposed to a guy like myself that has to analyze it. So as you prepared for him, did you notice anything where you said, okay, I got to work on this or maybe pay attention to that, or does it really matter?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've you know, for the first time, I've been able to get a lot of footage on one of my opponents. So I definitely look at what he does throughout his career. Some tendencies that he does, and you know, I obviously watch the TJ Dillashaw fight as well. But as a whole, you know, as a fighter, you could see that there's things that he still does from early on in his career to now, and I think that's where I'm going to be able to exploit him.
We're on the line right now with Mitch Gagnon. He's taking on Hayden Barão next week. It's going to be a spectacular event. It is the co-main event as Lyoto Machida takes on CB Dolloway. Make sure you follow Mitch online at Mitch Gagnon UFC. There's always people talking about, you know, can Mitch Gagnon pull this off? And, all of us believe that you can, at least in Canada, that's for sure. What would a victory over Hayden Barão mean to you? Because you got to think, this is going to put you right at the title contention.
Yeah, you know, I'm to be honest, I get asked that question a lot, and I really don't want to look past this and think of some. My only thought right now is Henning Burrell, how to beat him. I am obsessed on beating this guy. So a win against Henning will I'm sure propel me up near the top. So I just want to stay focused on this task, this goal, and reevaluate things after this fight.
In terms of fighting in Brazil, though, the one thing guys tell me all the time, I remember Antonio Carvalho told me flat out, the heat was very difficult to compete in, especially considering the hot lights that you're fighting under. But then there's the crowd, and the crowd constantly booing you, saying, you're going to die, and this, and that. And talking to other guys about yourself, I'm like, listen, Mitch Gagnon's a different guy. If you go back to the Tim Gorman fight in Quebec City in April, Tim was right in Mitch's face, and Mitch was like, you're going to see. So you have a different way of dealing with adversity, or at least negativity. What do you plan on, what does your mind tell you when you have to go into Brazil? It's basically hostile territory, and they're going to try and boo you out of the arena.
Yeah, sure. It's one of those things that I'll have to experience, and let's talk after, and I'll let you know how I felt. But really, I just feel too strong mentally to let that stuff bother me. I've worked so hard to be where I'm at, and I'm not going to let a crowd or anything secondary affect this fight. I'm coming in here very confident, and I don't care what this the situation may be. It could thunderstorm all I care in the arena. I'm ready.
In terms of getting ready for this camp here, who have you trained with?
Yeah, I've stayed with the same camps I've been working with. I feel confident. I feel comfortable at the clubs that I go to, and so I obviously go see RG Grant at Head Rush training facility for my boxing. I go to Parabellum to do my MMA specific stuff and my kickboxing and my jiu-jitsu as well. I go to Brock University for my wrestling every Thursday. I go see some of the guys sometimes at Justin Bruckman's, and I move around. I like training a lot of different places, give me different views, different body types, and I think it's a way to go.
In terms of Brock University, though, do you get that feeling that sometimes you have a bullseye on your back because you're a mixed martial artist or you're fighting in the UFC, or they just treat you like everyone else and let's put our time in, let's wrestle, and let's go?
Obviously at first you get that, I started going there a couple of years ago, and obviously at first you don't know nobody, and you got that filler process, but they take me as their own teammates now, when I go there and wrestle, I give them the good reactions, and then they see, value in me as a training partner, it values both of us, So, I think everybody treats me there, with respect, and it's great going down there.
Who's heading down to Brazil with you?
My boy Adrian. He follows me through, all my sessions, so he knows what we work on as far as my boxing, my kickboxing, my jiu-jitsu. So he kind of has my whole, game plan, worked in, in his mind. And then I got Monkey, Richard Nanku, my professor in jiu-jitsu. And I have my naturopath coming down as well.
In terms of bringing a guy like Monkey down, he's been down there before. He's been with you, for I guess from day one. When you think about it, all the way up in Sudbury, he's up there now, and he's a guy that's unheralded, unappreciated. People don't know much about Richard Nanku, but this is a trained killer. This is a guy that he's the guy that you want to walk into a bar with, and you're guaranteed to walk out. Can you talk about what Monkey does for you, not just for the jiu-jitsu side, but mentally as well?
Yeah, he's for the last couple camps, just because he's up in Sudbury now and I haven't been able to work with him all that much. He's there, for me, it's a mental thing. He's always there. He says the right things to me during, leading up to the fight. And it's just comfortable having, him around. And as far as, his legitimacy is, he's one of the top unknown you know, fighters in the world. That's for sure. That's what I think. He's a waste of talent, I always say, because that guy could have been something, you know. But, you know, sometimes the cards just don't play right. And but definitely he's a force to reckon with.
Well, I mean, you and I both know, Richard Nanku, like you say, we joke around that's wasted talent, but he's an exact casualty of war, what happened here in Ontario and how a guy that could have been a world champion, no ifs, ands, or buts, wasn't allowed to do so, and then age catches up to you. You can only do so much, but obviously one of my favorite guys in the industry. Got to ask you a question, though. With CM Punk now joining the Ultimate Fighting Championship, I've made it clear with some of the stuff that I've said, listen, I don't hate on the guy, but I do understand that, you know, listen, you want to chase your dream. Everything is great. I got no problem with that. It is very hard for guys that are trying to get into the UFC that he gets in there, but he's moving the needle. And I bring up your name and Elias's name all the time. Guys who understand that are trying to get out there, trying to get their brand out there. Do you have any issues with CM Punk coming to the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
I'm indifferent with it. You know, it's my opinion doesn't matter. You know, they signed them. They get, you know, it's like I tell everybody with the Reebok deal. They've done a 6-year deal with them. Regardless of what I think, the deal is done. And I'm employed by the UFC. So if I really hated that much, you know, I could just quit. I could just quit. So as far as that, it's secondary to me. I have no control over it, and I'm not gonna make it affect what I do and for my career and so on.
You think the Reebok deal is going to help a guy like yourself?
I think it's great. I honestly think it's great. It's a great step forward in the business, and I have no problem with it.
All right. What is your perfect fight on Saturday night, or when you take on Hayden Burrell? Do you have a perfect fight in mind? One that could say, "Hey, look at me. Look at what I've done. Let's do this."
Yeah, you know, I visualize this fight so many ways, and, you know, I think it's going to be one of those fights where, we're going to be both hurting. I want to make a big statement. I don't know. If I could put him away in the first, that'd be great. Less hard on my body, but, you know, in the perfect world, it'd be like that every time. But who knows? We'll just have to see.
Listen, I want to thank you very much for your time. Get to where you need to be. It's bad driving conditions out there. We want to thank you very much for the time, and best of luck in Brazil.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
There you have it, Mitch Gagnon. Make sure you follow him online via Twitter, @MitchGagnonUFC. All right, we got about a minute before we go to break here. A bunch of questions submitted via social media. I'll try and get to them as quick as I can. Edlin Eric asks me, you think TriStar would be a great option for CM Punk? GSP's experience could benefit CM. Absolutely, TriStar would be a fantastic option for him, although I do believe he wants to stay, like he mentioned, in Chicago. But we'll see what happens. I think he has an open invitation from Daniel Cormier and the guys out there in California. At Rumble70 asks, you UFC branded gyms, good, bad, indifferent. I guess I'm indifferent. I think it's great for business, and as long as people get out there and train, it's a good thing. It makes no difference to me. It is what it is, but if you're the UFC and you've got a business to run and you make money putting on these gyms or branding these gyms, why not? At Andy B, CM Punk, threat or opportunity? Well, I think it's an opportunity for Phil Brooks, CM Punk, that's for sure. Is he a threat? It's a fight. Anything can happen. Does he have the skills to bang with most people in the UFC? Not yet, but that'll come with time, but he doesn't have time on his side. I think he's 36 years old, so it will not be easy for him. At BJGDB9, well, that's not easy to say. Are fighters contractually obligated to offer rematches in the UFC, or is it all up to Dana White? I don't know if they're contractually obligated, but in essence, when you do sign on that dotted line and you are a champion, it all depends on the whole situation. But I do believe the UFC has that final say. They're going to tell you who they recommend that you should fight, and you are under contract to them. So pretty much who they say you're going to fight, chances are you're going to have to fight. At Duff the Stuff asks, can't wait to hear where you are headed in the new year, big man. Well, I appreciate that, and that makes two of us, because I don't know what's happening just yet, but stay tuned. That's all I got to say. At George One UFC fan asks, do you think the UFC is waiting to announce a Canadian TV deal until they have a date for Rory versus Lawler to announce at the same time? No. I don't think those two have anything to do with each other, but You never know. I think a TV deal will be announced shortly. We'll see what happens, and we'll see what it means for yours truly. That's for sure. All right, forget about that topic. Let's move forward. We're going to hear from Mike Bond, or Mike Bond's going to join us in a moment here. We've got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Make sure you follow yours truly at Showdown Joe on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. All my social media is the same handle, at Showdown Joe, for the latest and greatest from the world of mixed martial arts. I'll try and keep you up to date with what is happening with myself. As many of you know, this is the final broadcast of UFC Central, so I will try and keep you guys all up to date on where I will end up in 2015. But without further ado, when we talk about all things mixed martial arts, you got to think about MMA Junkie, you got to think about USA Today, and one of the writers for the organizations is Mike Bond, who joins us right now. Mr. Bond, how are you today?
I am spectacular. Thank you for having me back on for this great edition of the show.
Well, spectacular because you made your way outside of Toronto all the way to your homeland in Vancouver, BC, or just outside of Vancouver, BC. My friend, you have no idea the snowstorm that you missed.
Yeah, I got out of there just in the nick of time back on the West Coast, but it's heavy rain here, so I mean, it's not as brutal as the snow, but it's not fun either, so.
All good, all good. We'll have to deal with that. You know, the people that are complaining about the snow here in the GTA, I often, you know me, Mike, I kind of shake my head. I'm like, well, you live in Canada. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of comes with the territory and living out there, but it's just, I don't think people are expecting this big dump coming on one day after. It hasn't been that bad so far. It's been cold, but there hasn't been a ton of snow yet.
Well, for a guy that's got an ice rink in his backyard, I do welcome this cold weather. So I need that ice to freeze so I can get out there and be a proud Canadian, do some skating. But you mentioned comes with the territory, and this news of CM Punk joining the Ultimate Fighting Championship, I guess, comes with the territory nowadays because, as I mentioned, in some of the articles that I've written and stuff in general online, listen, if you move the needle, the UFC is going to sign you. But when you first heard the news that it became official, what went through your mind?
I was surprised. I mean, I think when he came on the UFC broadcast there, I was like, wow, this is actually really happening. Like, there was rumblings and stuff that this could happen, but I don't think anyone really thought it was going to come together this quickly. And I mean, there's just so many different angles to it. I think just in general, it excites me because I just think it's something new and different. And as we kind of know, the way the UFC does things, it's kind of been really cookie cutter lately. They've just been pushing forward with their schedule. So it's something different and new to talk about. That's not just, oh, what fight is coming up here. But I mean, this whole story just entails so many different things, and from his preparation to like what weight he's going to fight at, is he who he's going to fight, when is he going to fight? It's a crazy story, and there's so many different pieces to it, whether it's good or bad for the sport. But in general, as a whole, I think it's a good story, and I'm interested to see how the whole thing plays out. But there's just so much that needs to happen between now and the time that he actually fights.
Why do you think MMA fans can be so visceral at times when they do get news like this? Because I'm all about anybody and everybody trying to achieve a dream or trying to get to a goal. I have no issues at all with CM Punk doing this, or Phil Brooks. I don't even know what to call him right now. But I have no issues with anyone chasing their dream. And, you know, I understand it's a sport, and I understand that, you know, I feel terrible for the guys trying to work their way for a crack at the big show. That I understand. But to hate on CM Punk, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You can't get mad at the guy for jumping on an opportunity. He said, regardless, that if the UFC didn't want to host or allow him to have this fight in the octagon, he was going to do it elsewhere, whether it's Bellator, World Series of Fighting, overseas somewhere. It doesn't matter. He was going to fight. So the UFC really just saw the opportunity. And the first fight is what people are really going to want to see. So if he had one fight elsewhere and then won or whatever, it would take a little bit of the edge off it. This first fight is what all the intrigue is about. And to go back to your point, it does the negative, of course, is he's probably being paid better than a lot of guys who have been doing this sport for however many years, for probably their entire adult life. So that's an unfortunate situation, but that's kind of just the way the cookie crumbles in life. He is an extremely well-known property. You look at his Twitter followers, he has like 2.3 million Twitter followers, which is more than probably 90% of the entire UFC roster combined. So he's bringing eyeballs over, but I can understand where some of the disgruntled people come from, and the fact that the UFC for so many years has kind of said this thing that only the best fight here, this is where the best fight the best, and clearly this is not the case for this fight. But I think it's okay to do these things every once in a while. They had obviously different situations than like a Brock Lesnar, a James Toney, or someone like that. But I think every few years, it's okay for them to go outside the box and sign a person like this and just give it a shot and see what happens. I worry if this becomes commonplace and they start doing this frequently, but I think it's totally fine every few years to kind of bring in a CM Punk type character and just bring in some added buzz to the sport.
How much of this do you think can be considered a wake-up call for those on the roster of the Ultimate Fighting Championship? Because when you think, or just in mixed martial arts in general, that, you know, it goes back to, you know, you and I have talked about this on numerous occasions, both on and off the record. It goes back to my conversations and an article and interview with Jim Ross that, you know, listen, you want to get somewhere in the sport, you got to make some noise. You got to rate, you know, and Dana and Lorenzo always talking about moving the needle. And we saw it with Chael Sonnen. We see it with Conor McGregor. And now another example of CM Punk. This is a guy that's going to move the needle. And, you know, it's not just about your fighting. If you just want to fight, hey, no problem. But you're going to get paid just as a fighter. If you want to take that entertainment aspect, guess what? You're going to get paid a lot more. So how much of this do you think is a wake-up call for some of the fighters on the UFC roster?
In a way, definitely it can be. I mean, we're seeing more and more just as time goes on that really the people who put themselves out there and do these things get the opportunities. And obviously CM Punk is a extremely rare situation. I don't really think it doesn't matter how much UFC fighters right now try to go out and promote themselves or whatever they say in interviews, it's going to be extremely difficult or maybe even impossible to get the type of following that CM Punk has just from his entire years wrestling before the WWE and then the time he went to the WWE and just all the fans he made over there. So it's hard to really compare what he's doing and the attention he gets to say like what a UFC fighter could do, but it's just further statement that if you're a name and you can make yourself popular through whatever avenue it is, that you're going to get added more opportunities than people who don't. And this is clearly a case of that, even though it's such a unique situation, it's hard to really compare to anything else. But yeah, definitely it's further proof that if you're a name and people recognize you and what you are, it's only going to be positive things for your career.
And speaking of positive things, the ladies are going to have a huge moment tomorrow on Sportsnet 360 as the Ultimate Fighter 20 comes to an end. The finale goes down at the Palms in Las Vegas. We will see Carla Esparza take on Rose Namajunas for the first ever women's strawweight title. Give us your thoughts on the season in general, and of course the main event. There's going to be a new champion added to the UFC roster.
Yeah, well, I watched every episode of the show. I did all the recaps for MMA Junkie, and I think I have the same opinion that a lot of people do on it. The fights were awesome. The in-house drama stuff was not. It was really just got frustrating to watch by the end of the season. Some of the characters just really polarized themselves and was that part of the season was just very forgettable. But in terms of the fights and just how Carla and Rose in specific performed going through the house, man, this is going to be an awesome fight. Rose goes in and just submits everyone in the house, just looks like an absolute killer. And then Carla, I mean, her first two fights were not incredibly entertaining, but that third showing against Jessica Penne, I mean, wow, she just absolutely tore her up on the feet, looked extremely good. I'd be curious to know if that was like part of her strategy to really go in there and use a lot of her wrestling in the first two fights and not take much damage and then go in there and show her hands there against Penne. But yeah, just an amazing performance by both of them. I think this is really one of the best finals you can get. I was surprised at the beginning of the season when Rose was a number 7 seed. I thought she should have been a little higher, but seeding or not, this is one of the best finals they could have gotten. It's obviously a huge opportunity for both of them. I mean, Rose can She's only 22 years old. She can become the youngest UFC champion ever. She can break John Jones's record. So that's a huge piece of history that's possible. And then Carla, I mean, she was the number one seed all season, former Invicta champion. So this is really what people expected out of her going into the season. So really, her winning the belt would kind of just be carrying on the expectations that were placed before. And then Rose, people knew she was talented, but only three professional fights going into the season. I think people expected her to do well, but I don't think people expect her to do this well. So she's a bit of a surprise. But as we've seen throughout the season and really in all her interviews and everything, anytime she's on TV, Rose has the potential to be a star. She's got really the complete package. So if she wins or Carla wins, I think the UFC is in a good position. I think this is an awesome fight for the final.
Well, I'm laughing because I went back and forth with Pat Barry, you know, Rose Namajunas's boyfriend, back and forth right after the episode was done. I just sent him a smiley face, in essence, to say congratulations, you know, your girl made it to the finale. But, you know, Pat Barry, he went off. He was just, he had me in absolute stitches. And for those that have never seen Pat Barry corner Rose, get on YouTube, take a look. This guy loses his marbles. So I could just imagine what kind of scene he may cause. Nothing purposely, on tomorrow night, but what are you expecting out of Pat Barry should Rose emerge victorious, other than probably breaking down and crying uncontrollably?
Yeah, that's an interesting part, because Pat obviously is such a big part of her career, but you listen to like interviews that, I mean, he was at the media day for this event, and if you see pictures and stuff, there's photos of him like putting lip gloss on her and like painting her fingernails and stuff, which is just hilarious. But he's also saying, when they talk about it, he's just has such high expectations, saying this is what he expected for her out of her entire career. And I don't really obviously know the dynamic of the relationship behind the scenes, but I do wonder how much pressure that puts on Rose. He's just saying like she's going to be champion, just obviously he believes in her and has all the confidence in the world, but I wonder if she that adds any pressure to her when she's going in the fight. I'd like to think not, but he is such a character in that corner. He loses his mind, and I cannot even imagine his reaction if Rose goes in there and wins the belt, and especially if she does it in a similar fashion as she won all her fights in the house. My God, he's going to absolutely lose it, and someone needs to have a camera on him from the beginning of the walkout to the very end of that fight.
Well, Carla defeated Jessica Penny to get to the finale, and then Rose defeated Randa Markos, Canadian Randa Markos. Now, Randa and Jessica will be opening the broadcast, or the main card broadcast, on Sportsnet 360. Jeremy Stephens has taken on Charles Oliveira in a nice little featherweight contender belt. But the preliminary card you can also catch on Sportsnet 360 is all ladies, and there's some bad blood here. Felice Herring taking on Lisa Ellis. Beck Rawlings taking on Heather Jo Clark. That is not going to be a pretty fight, if you ask me. You got JoJo Calderwood taking on Siu He Ham. Yeah, well, it is what it is. And
Tisha Silva.
Exactly. And women, you know, and then Tisha Torres, I mean, who I actually picked to go to the finale, taking on Angela Magana, and that's going to be more bad blood. I mean, the ladies here are going to put on a show, in my opinion. I mean, is there any bout other than the ladies or the guys that you're looking forward to on this card? Because I think it's a wonderful card. It's going to be a great night on Sportsnet 360.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Torres and Magana fight should be interesting, just because we've seen, if anyone's really been following Magana on Twitter anything these past few weeks, she's really made herself an unlikable character in many ways. So I don't know if this is Sean Shelby's way of punishing her by putting her in there against Tisha Torres, but this could very, if you're not an Angela Magana supporter, maybe you should tune into this just because it may very well be her one-and-done opportunity in the UFC. Tisha Torres is a handful. But, yeah, I think I'm obviously interested to see Calderwood and Ham there. Obviously, lots of hype behind Ham. She's a champion over from Asia. And, I mean, Calderwood, people thought she was going to be in the final and obviously didn't make it there, but lots of expectations for her. Yeah, lots of great fights there. And it's very interesting to see that they have this all-female preliminary card. A few years ago, you would have never seen this happening, and it's crazy how far the sport's come.
You're listening to UFC Central. Online with us right now is Mike Bond. Make sure you follow him online at Mike Bond MMA. Bond is spelled B-O-H-N. He is a journalist for USA Today and MMA Junkie, and of course a proud Canadian leaving Toronto at the right time, getting over to Vancouver. All right, 24 hours after the Ultimate Fighter finale, we have UFC on Fox, Dos Santos versus Miocic, which you can also catch on Sportsnet 360. JDS taking on Stipe Miocic. You got to consider this a contender bout, or at least a situation where Junior Dos Santos has to protect his ranking versus the rising Stipe Miocic. And if Stipe emerges victorious, look out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, huge opportunity for Stipe, and JDS, this is one of those situations where he can't afford a loss here. He already has the two defeats to Cain Velasquez, the champion, and obviously he is dreaming for that third fight, but if it's ever going to happen, he can't afford to really lose fights like this to Stipe. And I mean, I like Junior here. I think this is his fight to win. He's taken over a year off. I am curious to see how he performs with the move to Novo Uniao and everything. I mean, he's with a new team. They don't have a ton of heavyweights over there, so I'm curious to know what type of preparation he's got in terms of like sparring and all that. But it's always interesting to see fighters really revitalize their career and move somewhere different. So I'm interested to see how Junior looks, but if he's really the same fighter or even just a bit better than he was when he was fighting before, this should be his fight. He's got the better hands. He's got awesome takedown defense. I mean, Stipe could really close the distance and try to wear him down on the ground with his wrestling and ground and pound, but I think Junior's too good at getting up off his back and just avoiding the takedown in general, that if he keeps this in standing range, obviously with it being a heavyweight bout, it really only takes one shot to end it, and I think Junior, over the course of that five rounds, will be able to defend the takedown well enough to land whatever strike he needs to eventually knock Stipe out and then really keep that top contender position. But if Stipe does win, he's in a really good spot. He could fight for the title maybe next after Verdum and Velasquez go at it, or maybe he fights someone like Travis Brown, and that's a number one contender fight.
I can already hear some of you saying, oh, Mike Bond said it's the third fight that Junior Dos Santos is looking for. Mike knows it's the fourth fight. Listen, it's I make those slips all the time, so Mike knows what he's talking about. I don't want to hear any of you guys ripping him apart on Twitter or blaming me. So, hey, it is what it is. That fourth fight, though, Mike, I don't know, man. It's like the Ben Henderson no man's land. I don't know when it's going to happen. It can happen, but he's going to have to go through a bunch of guys. JDS has to go through a bunch of guys, but it is what it is. We'll see what happens. But this co-main event in the lightweight division, Rafael Dos Anjos taking on Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, he who missed the workout, and B, said his Twitter account was hacked when he spoke about the Reebok deal. I'm kind of giving the edge here to Rafael Dos Anjos. What about you?
Yeah, I like Dos Anjos here. I mean, he's looked great lately, and he's another one of those guys. I know I mentioned Fabricio Verdum earlier. He's just training under Rafael Cordero over there in California. Just, my God, the way that this guy is striking, is caught up to his grappling, is just unbelievable in these past few fights. And Dos Anjos is one of those guys. He's been around the UFC since like 2008, and really you just thought he was going to be one of those middle tier lightweight guys, maybe nothing special. He's got a few good wins on his record, a few nice finishes, but you never really thought this guy was going to be a major lightweight contender, and all of a sudden he just finds that point in his career where he turns the corner and everything really starts to come together, and that's what we're seeing in these past couple fights. And I think what we'll continue to see against Diaz, who obviously hasn't fought in over a year now and doesn't seem too thrilled with his life as a UFC fighter at the moment, and you wonder how that stuff impacts his training. And just in general, even with Diaz being at 100%, you wonder how good of a matchup this is for him. Dos Anjos can take a shot. He's good enough wrestler. Obviously, hands are looking great, and his submission game's awesome. So I don't really see, unless Diaz can do what he does best and really just close the distance and trap Dos Anjos in the corners of the cage and just start picking him apart with his combinations, I don't really see how else Diaz wins this, and this could be another tough night for him, which he's had a few of lately.
Keeping an eye on this whole Alistair Overeem situation, it almost seems like the leash gets tighter and tighter and tighter on his UFC career. He's taking on Stefan Struve, adamant that he's going to take out the skyscraper in the first round within 30 seconds. Can Stefan Struve, you think he'll be able to deal with the onslaught that Alistair Overeem will bring, or is Alistair playing coy here and basically saying, I'm going to say this, but I'll tell you what, I'm ready to go 50 minutes with this guy?
Who knows? It's just that's the thing with Alistair Overeem. His UFC career has just been the strangest story. I mean, his record's 2-3 in the octagon, but it could very easily be 5-0. I mean, he has won probably over 90% of his total fight time. He's just really dominated guys out there, but his chin has really been a struggle situation with him lately. He's been knocked out, I believe, 9 or 10 times in his entire career now, and you just wonder how much punishment he can really take. He can dish it out, but he's having a hard time taking it lately. And Stefan Struve, we've seen so many times in his career, he has taken a beating and come back to win the fight. So this could very easily be one of those situations again that Overeem comes out there and wrecks the guy in the first 30 seconds and is really on the verge of getting that finish before the entire fight flips on its head and he gets caught with something. But Struve, obviously, he's been knocked out a few times himself. He doesn't have the most reliable chin either, so that could be something that if Overeem does get him early, he just eventually puts it away. But this is just such an unpredictable fight, because after that first flurry by Overeem, you really have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going with Overeem. I think the entire Struve hasn't fought in a really long time either. Obviously, his medical concerns are worrying. He seems fine now, but just the fact that he hasn't competed in so long, he's going to be going out there against an Overeem that really wants to prove a point. I think another loss here for Overeem would be just devastating to his career. It might even be the end of his run in the UFC, though. I would be surprised if they let him go, but yeah, I think Overeem really needs this one. He's done the training at Jackson's. He seems like he's ready to go and in a good place. So if he catches Struve early, I think this will be the one that he doesn't allow a comeback.
Listen, I want to thank you very much for your time. As always, love your analysis and want to wish you the best of the holiday season, my man.
You too. Thank you so much, Joe.
There you have it. Mike Bond from MMA Junkie and USA Today. Thank you very much to all of you listeners, to everyone that follows me at Showdown Joe on Instagram, on Twitter, and on social media, Facebook, and all that jazz. Thank you very much over the years. It's been a great ride, and keep in touch. Make sure you follow Showdown Joe, and I'll try and keep to date on everything mixed martial arts as well as where I will be in 2015. Thank you to everybody. Best of luck during the holiday season. Enjoy it. Be safe, and all the best in 2015. You have been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.